Welcome back to this week's edition of the Midweek Reality Check with Michael Pinto, where I try to keep Wall Street and your money real.
The first part of this podcast is going to describe why I am very confident that we are going to experience a slight case of disinflation and an absolute acute and painful recession this year. And I'm going to start by explaining the reasons why, and then I'm going to finish with a comment about the portfolio. So let's go. For starters, we will have the lagged effects of one of the greatest and globally coordinated monetary tightening regimes to ever hit the economy in the very, very near future. Monetary tightening works with a long and variable lag of about a year. March of 2022 marked the Fed's liftoff from ZIRP, zero interest rate policies. Therefore, the negative ramifications of raising rates from 0% to what will end up being around 5% over the course of the past year will become most acute starting this summer. Despite a slower pace of tightening, you know, the market gets all excited about, oh yeah, the Fed's slowing down their pace, interest rates are still being raised into a recession, along with a QT program that is twice as large as the previous failed attempt at reducing the Fed's balance sheet. Jerome Powell is destroying $1 trillion of base money supply per annum, and that will continue on for two more years, according to the Fed chairman himself. And it wasn't just the Fed that was busy raising interest rates over the past year. Over 80 of the world's central banks were doing the exact same thing. This is the very reason why half of the global bond yield curves are now inverted, which is a very unusual event indeed. Of course, the U.S. Central Bank has inverted its curve by about 80 basis points, which makes it the most upside-down regime of borrowing costs since 1981. For reminder, an inverted yield curve is one of the most reliable recession indicators that we have. And this indicator is presaging a sharp recession will occur globally and very soon. Continuing on, the net percentage of U.S. banks that are tightening lending standards has soared to 44.8% during Q1 of this year, up from a minus 32.4% back in Q3 of 2021. The current level of tightening has been a reliable indicator for recessions to begin. The M2 money supply is shrinking for the first time since records began since 1960. The rate is a minus 1.3% currently, down from the high water mark of 27% growth back in February of 2021. Two-thirds of consumers are now living paycheck to paycheck, and their savings rate is one of the lowest in history. Consumers have suffered 22 consecutive months of negative real income growth and have resorted to tapping credit at a record pace to make ends meet. To this point, credit card balances increased 6.6% to $986 billion during the quarter, the highest quarterly growth on record, according to the New York Fed data going back to 1999. Year over year, credit card balances grew 15.2%. Consumers added $398 billion in new debt during Q4 2022, and their total amount of debt, credit card plus mortgage and all the other debt, has now climbed to $17 trillion. That increase in debt was the fourth highest for a Q4 in the past 20 years and nearly 4.5 times larger than Q4 in 2021, according to WalletHub. In fact, the U.S. national debt is now at $32 trillion. That is a record 130% of GDP. Corporate debt now stands at a record 50% of GDP. And the burden of servicing all of this debt is rising rapidly along with the Fed's rate hikes. The Index of Leading Economic Indicators is warning of an unambiguous recession that is right around the corner. The LEI has fallen 10 months in a row, is now clearly in contraction territory. Real estate, which is the consumer's largest asset, is in big trouble. Existing home sales have fallen 12 months in a row to the slowest pace in 12 years, and we're down 37% year over year in January. Falling home prices cannot be far behind plummeting sales, and that will exacerbate the reverse wealth effect already hurting consumers from bond and stock declines. A growing number of corporations have announced hiring freezes and job cuts recently, and it isn't any wonder why. The truth is corporate profits are struggling as margins compress. GAAP earnings, generally accepted accounting principles, earnings of the S&P 500 during Q4 of last year were down nearly 30% year over year and have fallen three quarters in a row, according to Charlie Biello, Chief Market Strategist for Creative Planning. The preceding fact about plunging GAAP earnings didn't get much press. I'm not surprised. And we don't have to wonder why. And we also have a fiscal crater approaching, especially for lower-end wage earners. The maximum amounts for the child tax credit, earned income tax credit, and child dependent care credit reverted back to pre-COVID levels this year. The American Rescue Act temporarily increased these credits, but the tax break is gone now. The child tax credit decreased to $2,000 per child as compared with last year's $3,600 credit. In addition, this year's taxpayers will not receive the full credit if the amount is more than the tax that they paid. The maximum earned income tax credit amount for single filers with no children fell to $500 this year from $1,502 last year. And the child and dependent care credit, you know, for child care for daycare and preschool, also reduced this year to $6,000 from $8,000 last year for two or more qualifying persons. So to sum up, we have a monetary cliff that's hitting us, and we have a fiscal cliff, or at least a crater, heading our way. And yet, despite all this, the two most important stock valuation metrics, the total market cap of equities to GDP and the price to sales ratios of the S&P 500, are higher today than at any other time in history prior to the 2020 pandemic. I mean, what else would you expect when our central bank has made money virtually free for 10 of the last 14 years? Hence, it is nonsense to argue about whether the economy and stock market will have a soft landing or one that doesn't land at all, which is what the blowhards on CNBC would like you to believe. Both views are incorrect. The time to get back into a crash position in your portfolio is drawing near, like we were last year around this time. But this time, bonds aren't going to hurt us, and I want to talk about the portfolio right now, if you will allow me. So let's just review briefly Pento Portfolio Strategy's performance since 2016, which is the inception of the IDEC and the launch of the IDEC, Inflation Deflation Economic Cycle Model. After making money every year since its launch in 2016, the IDEC strategy lost about 3.5% after fees last year. That wasn't because we didn't know the market was going to go down. We knew it. We knew it before anybody else did. It was because bonds and their prices crashed by 30%. TLT, long duration bonds, one of the most safest assets you can have on the planet, crashed by 30%, which is, by the way, what the NASDAQ crashed last year, 30%. Hence, any bond exposure at all, which usually goes up in a bear market, which is why we owned it, hurt the performance a lot. And we still did far, I mean, overall, PPS did far, far better than the S&P and the NASDAQ. But this January saw a bear market bounce that is now fading fast. Bear market bounces are highly stochastic, and we did not participate in this latest ephemeral rally, which is now failing. Or at least, if it's not failing, it's flailing. But here's a question that you have to have on your minds. I know some of you do, and it's very clear. When will we just not lose less money, but when are we going to actually make money in the portfolio? Well, the IDEC model, to answer this question, the IDEC model is now in sector two, which is a sector of disinflation, which is headed for an economic recession. Meaning, again, we are positioned to make gains in the portfolio, not just lose less, profits in the portfolio during times when the second derivative, or the rate of change, or the rate of change of inflation is slowing along with the economy. That is when bonds and bond proxies do well, sector two. So it's not time to get crazy net short. That's sector one. That's a credit crisis stance position. We're not there yet. But bond and bond proxies for the slowdown, like gold, like utilities, do well in that scenario. And again, bonds should do much better in this rate of change slowdown because yields are at 5% to start off, not 0%. That's my mistake. I actually wrote a book about the coming bond market collapse. I should have been, I was not overweight bonds. I had a little bit of bond exposure. But even a little bit of bond exposure got you hurt in 2022. It's the difference between making money and losing a little bit of money. That was the difference. Because our shorts did well. But this time around, phase two of the bear market is coming, and it should be wonderful for bonds. Much better than last year. So here's your decision. Here's what you have to contemplate. If you believe the economic growth in the United States is about to accelerate, and if you believe inflation is about to take off, then we have it wrong, and we're not going to make any money this year. If, however, you listen to the first part of this podcast and understand all of the facts, there's not one opinion there. All of it was facts. Crashing money supply growth, banks tightening lending standards, interest rates rising, a fiscal cliff, housing market in a recession. I can go through them all again, but I'm not going to. Hit, you know, rewind and replay why we are positioned for what we're positioned for. So if you believe we're heading into a recession in the context of inflation that remains high but is still slowing from its current level, that's the second derivative, then rest easy. We have this right. And we are exactly where we need to be in the portfolio. I think the next 3 months is going to be a plethora, a deluge of, oh my God, look at how slow the economy is getting. And look at the fact that inflation is coming down, but not as fast as the Fed would like it to be. That's what I foresee happening. But first and foremost, I see a salient downward move in the economic data and in the earnings announcements. In addition, the IDEX strategy, the very same one that got us out of harm's way in 2022, is going to be the same thing that gets us accurately positioned when we determine the bear market is going to end and the bull market is about to start. It's the same process. So when the bottom line is that we have a tendency, a history of protecting clients during bear markets, and a history of participating in bull markets with very low volatility. If that's for you, you have the right home, and it's exactly where you need to be.
Thank you so much for listening to this edition of The Reality Check, 5 minutes of sanity in an insane world. Please remember, if you're not already an investor with PPS, you can email me directly using mpento@pentoport.com or call the office using 732-772-9500 to get information about our portfolio services. You should also go to Amazon and order my book, The Coming Bond Market Collapse. Subscribers should contact an investment advisor before acting on any information contained in this podcast. No information on this podcast constitutes an offer to sell or buy any financial instruments or to provide any investment services. Subscribers understand there's an inherent risk in investing. PPS is a registered investment advisor.